I'm happy to see you all this morning. If I don't know you, I'm Amy, and I'm one of the pastors here at Ashworth, and I'm eager to be sharing this morning. If you're joining us online, we're so glad you're here. We have been in this series, Counterfeit Gods. I'm like, we should have just called this series Meddlin, to use a Brent word from the South, because Brent has been meddling. And I will say, it's not Brent, it's the Holy Spirit that's been meddling for me. I don't know how you've been feeling, but this series has been, convicting. There's been ways that I'm like, oh God, I'm not ready to hear this, but I'm eager to continue to grow and be transformed. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to meddle a little more this morning. It's my turn. Today, I'm going to share about the subject of control. The idol of control, and actually the idol of control is kind of like a root of all these other idols. Typically, it's control that's beneath our issues with technology, with money, with success and achievement. And just to get us on the same page this morning, I thought I would throw up a couple definitions. These are Merriam-Webster and Oxford. Control is this: the power to influence or direct people's behavior or the course of events, or the power or authority to guide or manage. Now, how many of you, we've done hands this whole series, I think, so we're going to do it again. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. How many of you resonate with that desire of wanting to be in control? Okay, I like the honesty in the room. How many of you heard this definition or these definitions and or the topic and you immediately thought of your spouse or your boss or your, Brent just pointed at me, or your roommate or your mom, right? I found myself this last couple of weeks in preparation for this service, I'm like, well, I'm glad I'm doing this one because I don't have issues with control, not even a little bit, you know? I'm like, I do like things to go my way, but I'm not a control freak. But I know some people who are. And then I began to realize, like, oh, actually, I do have some issues with control. So I wanted to give a little more all-encompassing definition. This is my own definition of control. A longing for everything to go according to plan. Okay, now, I was talking to Matthew about this last night, and he's like, this might not be totally fair, because everybody has a longing. It's when you start manipulating and intervening to make everything happen, right? So I'm adding to it. A longing for everything to go according to plan and a willingness to do whatever it takes to make that happen. Anybody relate to that? Yeah, okay, got some head nods. Now we can probably all say yes. On some level, we all long for control, and it may be an idol for many of us in the room. We love to control. We love to control our money and success and achievement and what people think about us and our relationships. That's my favorite one. I love to control other people. We love to control our future and all those things. But take heart this morning. You're not alone. I found comfort in this the last couple weeks in preparing this message. You are not alone. This is a very human struggle from the very beginning of time. Going back to Genesis 2, I want you to think back to the garden. God has created Adam and Eve, and they're roaming the garden. God's given them this beautiful garden to enjoy. Eat from whatever you want. Tend to the garden. This is for you, except for this one thing. In Genesis 2, verse 15, it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die.' Then Eve comes in the picture, and we see the serpent in Genesis 3. The woman says to the serpent, she's explaining, well, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from this tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you'll die. And the serpent explains, you will certainly not die. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it." The instruction is clear here. You know, if you can have everything you want, it's all yours to enjoy, to eat, to steward. But this tree, it's just not for you. It's not for you. The instruction was clear, but the temptation was clear. And I don't know that I've ever really looked at Genesis 2 in this light before, until thinking about control. The temptation here feels like a temptation of control for Adam and Eve in this moment. Eve is not just interested in this tasty fruit. It says, oh yeah, it was pleasing to the eye. It was a fruit that she was curious about. It looked beautiful, looked tasty. But it says she was also enticed. She was allured by the idea of wisdom and knowledge, by being like God, by being God. She wasn't just interested in the fruit for flavor. She was enticed by control, wanting more. And you know what what made me feel better? This was perfection, okay? If Adam and Eve are already tempted by control, they already want to know more. They already want to be God in the midst of perfection. Wow, this must be in us, in human nature almost, because I understand wanting control when things are chaotic, right? It makes sense. You want control. Things feel like chaos. Things are out of control. Things are stressful. Things are painful. You want to change the story. You want to make things better. You want to control. That makes sense. But even in the very beginning of our story, of God's story, and the story of humanity, is that even when things were perfect, humans wanted more. Humans have never liked limitation, have we? Like, you get all this, but this thing, this just is not meant for humans. This isn't meant for you, and yet we want it. We want the knowledge. We want the wisdom. We want the abilities of God. From the very beginning of time, humans have wanted control. Does that make you feel better? It made me feel better. I'm in good company. And it's this moment, isn't it wild to think, it was this moment of disobedience. It's this moment of Adam and Eve making the decision to say, no, actually, we do want to be God. We want wisdom and knowledge of good and evil. We want control. It was that decision that flung the whole story of God and humanity in a completely different direction. It's a lot of power in our desire for control. And then we see this theme continue. It's from the very beginning of our story, but it continues in all kinds of places. There's any number of stories you could look at in the Old Testament of rulers and leaders and kings who wanted control. In the New Testament, you see it in the Pharisees wanting control. They don't want what Jesus has to offer. They want control. They want people to stay in line and to be a certain way. And you see that even in the disciples. Like, Jesus, we want to do something different. And in fact, I even began to see this week that I believe Jesus himself was even tempted to have the idol of control. I began to think about this scene. We celebrated communion this morning, and I was thinking about the story where Jesus is in the garden, and he knows that he's about to be killed, and he is so stressed. He's overwhelmed. It said that his soul was troubled beyond measure. It said that he was, sweating drops of blood, like the level of stress and anxiety and overwhelm, knowing that his death was imminent. And you see Jesus in this very human moment. He's human and divine, fully both in this moment, but wow, you see his humanity. And he's saying to his disciples, guys, can you just stay awake and pray with me? And you hear his prayers, his cries to the Father. He says, Father, is there a different way? Like, can we change the plan? Could I not do this? Could you take this cup from me? And he asks a couple times even, kind of wrestling with the Father in that moment. And then he says, not my will, but yours be done. Father, if there's no other way, if you can't take this cup from me and I must drink it, then I will. Not my will, but yours be done. And we see in that moment, Jesus is different than us. He chooses surrender. He chose surrender to the Father's will in that moment. And I think there are so many things that we need in order to dismantle the idol of control in our lives, but I think the first thing we need is surrender. Dismantling the idol of control requires surrender. I was talking to my brother a while ago about what's the first thing that we do when things are hard. We find ourselves in a tough situation. How many of you, the first thing you think to do is like, oh, I'm just going to surrender it, you know? We fight it. We fix it. We want to manage it. You know, we like do all these things to manipulate it. And what we see in the model of Jesus here is his surrender. And it's not just arbitrarily. We don't just surrender to like life or surrender to the universe or, you know, do you ever use the phrase, it is what it is? You know, this is not just an is what it is. Like, well, we just let it go and it is what it is. When you surrender, you're surrendering to a person. You're surrendering to the Father who loves you, who has good plans for you, who is working on your behalf. Matthew and I were talking this week about, yeah, in therapy, in the mental health world, we invite people to surrender too. That, like, one of the most popular modalities is called acceptance and commitment theory. It's the idea of, like, you've got all kinds of rough circumstances that you're facing. We're going to teach you how to, like, accept it, how to surrender it. But when we follow Jesus, we say, you surrender it, and you surrender it to the Father, and you trust the Father and his will. Jesus surrenders, I think, in that moment because he knows he's been with the Father. He knows the Father's heart. He knows that God's will is better than his. Which reminds me of a scripture I grew up hearing so much. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Do you ever have those verses that you've heard a million times and they just feel like a cheesy, like, crocheted thing that you hang on your wall? But this is truth, okay? Trust in the Lord with your whole heart. Don't lean on what you know. Don't lean on your own knowledge or understanding, but surrender to him, submit to him, and he'll guide you in the right paths. This was my dad's favorite passage, and he would say this and write it, and I heard it so many times. But I struggle to believe this because I do believe still, on many days, that if I just had a little more understanding, a little more knowledge, a little more wisdom, then I would have a better plan for what to do, right? And I think so many of us grapple with that. We think if we had more information, if we had more understanding, if we had a little more knowledge, a little more wisdom to understand the circumstances, then we would have peace and rest. Any of you do that? You go doom scrolling, like you learn something and you're like, I need answers. And then you end up just like in a totally different spiral of despair. Even this week, Liz and I were talking about how as moms, like sometimes, you know, your kid gets sick or something happens and you start Googling things. Any of you ever done that for yourself, somebody else? I talked to my mom a while ago and I said, Mom, I don't know how you raised kids, humans, without Google. And she said, I don't know how you do it with Google. She's like, you have too much information that causes anxiety, and you can't do things out of your instinct or leaning on Jesus. Instead, you're leaning on Google all the time for all your information, you know. And the more information you get, the more stressed you get, the more anxious you get. Anybody resonating? I see some moms nodding their heads anyway. More knowledge will not quiet your soul, but more trust will. As I'm saying all these things, I'm like, yeah, this is for me. More knowledge will not quiet my soul. Trust will. Paul says it this way in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious about anything. You know how you're not anxious about things? You know how you don't need to feel control and this pressure to manage every situation in your life? By telling God about it, presenting your request to God, petitioning on your behalf. God, help me. Dismantling the idol of control requires surrender, and it also requires consistent, honest communication with God. Telling him what you need, telling him what you're anxious about, telling him what you want to control. God, I want you to fix this. I want to fix this, but I can't. And doing that all the time. It says in every situation, in every circumstance. So just do that a lot. Talking to him all the time about all the things that you feel panic about, that you feel stress about, that you feel anxious about, that you have worry about. Some might even call this confession. God, I want to change this. I want to fix this. I don't like this. Will you do something about it? Will you change the circumstance, or will you change me? Will you change my heart? Will you change my perspective? But it's so important for us to be people who are consistent and honest in our communication with God. Oh, God, I hate this. God, this is keeping me awake every night. It's waking me up. This is not right. Help me. Because when we hold on to those things that we're anxious about, the things that are feeling out of control, when we try to take control, when we become obsessed with fixing or managing or manipulating the situation or other people or circumstances, we become exhausted. It's exhausting. The more we cling to control, the more we hold tightly to those things, the more exhausted we become. And control is so, so deeply tied to anxiety and fear. When our anxiety and our fear over a situation amps up, you know, you're worried about money, or you're worried about job, or you're worried about your kids, or you're worried about your friends, or your future, or relationships. When those anxieties begin to amp up, our control amps up. You ever feel that? Your anxiety rises and you're like, nope, I'm getting my schedule, I'm getting these things, I've got all my ducks in order, we're going to make this work, we're going to figure it out. If I can just fix or manipulate or change things, if I just had a little more knowledge to know the end of the story. Isn't it interesting that Adam and Eve also thought more knowledge would change things for them? If I could just make sure that I understand and I know how things happen and how they go, then I would feel better. And instead, we feel so much worse. It's pressure and stress and anxiety that we put all on ourselves when God is saying, I have something really different for you. God is offering us rest and peace that transcends all understanding. He says, let me hold that. Tell me about it. Let me handle that. Let me carry that. Let that anxiety and that burden be mine. That's my role in your life. When I was thinking about control this week, I began to think God reminded me of a story from a number of years ago. So Pearl is 8 now. She was probably 5 or 6 then. This is our daughter. And Pearl is 8. She's going on 28. I mean, this girl, like, honestly, if there was another person that called in sick, she probably would be like, what do you need me to do? Like, I'll run the booth. You know, she's not going to preach, but she'll do something, okay? This girl loves to run the show. She is smarter than she should be. She wants to be an adult. And, you know, there's a little anxiety, a little control in there. So she was maybe 6 years old, and Matthew and I were driving somewhere talking, and we were talking about how something was wrong with our car and we needed to get it fixed. And we're like, there's an issue here, you know, and then, okay, I wonder what it is. I wonder what it's going to cost. And then when we take the car in, okay, who's going to drive Pearl to school and who's going to take me to work? And we're all talking about this, okay? Pearl's in the back seat with her little brother. And she's listening to this whole thing, and she pipes in. She's like, well, I think maybe if we drop me off first, and then, I don't know, and then what is the problem? How much is it going to cost? Like, literally, this is Pearl, okay? This is my child. She did not get this from me, I'll tell you that much, okay? She is managing all these little details. And Matthew turns around, and he goes, Pearl Becker, you have permission to be a child. And I laughed, and I have never forgotten that. Neither has she, because he says that. He uses that phrase all the time now. She starts going into this, like, I'm going to manage this. I want to be in this adult conversation. you can see sometimes a little anxiety creeps up in her, and she's like, what are we going to do about this? And Matthew says, Pearl, you have permission to be a child. And isn't that just like us? When God brought that story to my mind, I'm like, that is us. And this morning, God is saying, you have permission to be a child. We want to take on all these other things that are not fit for us. It is not fitting for a six-year-old to be determining how much a car repair is going to cost and where it's going to happen and when and who's going to take care of it. That's not fit. And I think God looks at us sometimes and he's like, it is not for you to know your exact future and how you're going to get there and how this issue is going to be resolved. You are not the parent. You are not God. You have permission to be a child. Do you feel that relief? You have permission to be a child this morning. Dismantling the idol of control requires having a right view of who you are and a right view of who God is. You are not God, and you don't need to carry the whole world. You have permission to be a child. I love that passage in Matthew 18 where the disciples are trying to like shoo away the kids from Jesus, and he's like, no, let them come. And actually, all of you need to be more like them. You know, if you are not like a little child, it's really hard for you to enter and experience the kingdom. You don't get righteousness and joy and peace by being a controlling adult. Release it. Become a child. And it's this trust, knowing that your Father knows your needs. And that's what Matthew's telling Pearl each time he has to say this. Pearl, remember, I'm your dad. I take good care of you. Your mom takes good care of you. We love you. You're not going to get forgotten at school. Maybe your mom might do that, but your needs are going to be met. You are well taken care of. You have permission to be a child. Now, some of you may be thinking this morning, like, cool, what are you asking me to do, Amy? Like, if I release control, then I'm just resigning and like, it is what it is. So I'm supposed to do nothing? Like when circumstances are hard and things need change and things need fixed, I'm supposed to just do nothing? And no, that's not what I'm saying this morning. You still have a will. You still have desire. You still have agency as a person. You have gifts and abilities, and God has given you things to steward like he did Adam and Eve. You are to steward the garden. You are to steward these things. There are things that are meant for you to do, but there are many things that are meant for you not to do. And again, it's knowing that role. What is my role? And how can we partner with God? It's a partnership. It's not me taking over his job, me taking and thinking I'm going to control and manage and do all these things, but it's partnership with him. What is my role in this, and what is God's role? And that's a good practical question you can ask even when you're in a situation where you feel that anxiety and that control amping up. You can simply ask, God, what is your role and what is mine? Will you show me? I love that prayer that has kind of been popularized by AA, but it was written in the 1930s by Reinhold Niebuhr. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I loved reading this week also that that was written in 1930. Like, even without all the things that we have, technology-wise and all that, all the information we have, even still, people were struggling with control. We see it. It's consistent through human history. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't change and the courage to change the things I can. Show me what your role is, God, and what is mine. What can I do and what can you do? And give me wisdom to know the difference. As I was thinking about how I have no issues with control in my life, I began to think about many seasons where I really struggle with control in my life. And I was thinking in particular about a really tough season. During the pandemic, it was like 2020 into 2021, and I was wrestling with control in a major way. I wanted control so bad. Didn't we all? But things were hard in our family. Whew. My brother and his family were going through some of the darkest times in their lives, and we were right there with them. And it was a lot of things that, you know, I could help, but I couldn't change it. I couldn't fix it. I couldn't control it. But I tried to. My mom has a number of autoimmune diseases, and her immune system is always compromised, and COVID's happening, and I'm so worried, you know, like, she's going to get sick. Is she going to die? You know, and her health was declining, and I was watching that, feeling like, what can I do? Researching on Google, you know, oh, try this med, try this vitamin, try all these things, and oh, wanting to manage and make better what I can't. It's not my job. I can't control it. I remember running. I was the area director for a statewide campus ministry, InterVarsity, and our campuses had all kind of shut down and had gone online, and now we're trying to, like, rebuild ministry, and we had little tiny groups of students meeting, and I'm like, oh, no. How do we, quick, how do we get things back? How do we grow our ministries again? And this looks bad, you know? I need to control this. And the same thing was happening at Ashworth, though Brent was kindly saying over and over, we're not going to go back to where we've been. I'm like, but we should. Let's try anyway. Like, we have numbers that are lowering, and things aren't the way they were, and oh, God, fix this. And I wanted to manage and fix and make it all better and different, and I couldn't. And I found myself on more than one occasion in, like, a full-blown panic. And I remember going to therapy finally and going to see a spiritual director. And I learned to pray simple, practical prayers in that season that have stuck with me since. The first one that I prayed all the time was, I give everyone and everything to you. It just became the prayer. And I bet I prayed in that season, I bet I prayed that like 30 times a day. I'd feel some of that anxiety rise up. I would hear something hard about this situation. I'd learn about somebody at church that was leaving or something and feel all these feelings. God, I give everyone and everything to you. I am not God. You see that this is a... Dismantling control is surrendering, it's being honest and communicative with God, and it is a reminder of who I am and who he is. This is exactly what that prayer is. Like, it's simple and it means something. God, you can do things that I can't. I give everyone, and it's surrender. I release these people to you, and I'm telling you. And sometimes I'm like, and it's this person, and this person, and this person, and this situation, and I'm giving it all to you. And the other simple prayer that I prayed over and over was a breath prayer. Because when you're anxious and trying to control things, sometimes your breathing is a little out of control. You can feel it. And I would breathe in, you are God. And I would breathe out, I am not. In, you are God. And I'd breathe out, I am not. And over and over and over. For years, I've prayed those, both of those. When I feel that control rising in me, I give everyone and everything to you. You are God. I am not. A reminder of who God is. A reminder of who I am. That all I need to know in this moment is I am not God. I surrender, I release, and I'm being honest with God. And so this week, we've been giving you a practice each week to try. I encourage you to try those things. Try one of those prayers this week. When you feel some of that desire for control, and maybe some of you, it's in your individual life. For many of you, you're like watching the world and the nation, and you're like, ugh, I want to fix something.
I want to change something. I want control. Instead, would you say, you are God, I am not. I give everyone and everything to you. What is yours and what is mine? And maybe it's confession. Maybe it's just that, don't be anxious, but by prayer and petition, present your request to God. Maybe it's just, God, I need to dump on you. These are all the things I'm concerned about, all the things I'm worried about. Here you go. And I think what he's saying to us and what he will say to you this week is, you're not in control, and it's okay. You have permission to be a child. Let me pray for us. God, we give everyone and everything to you this morning. Thank you that you are God and we are not. And would you help us to understand the difference between those things? Would you give us revelation this week of places where we want to be you, where we want to take control, where we want to fix and change, and maybe it's not our role. God, teach us how to release, how to surrender, how to communicate so honestly with you. Teach us who we are and who you are and the difference between us. God, teach us to give ourselves permission to be a child. We love you, God.